Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 10th of January, recording at 5:18 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Well, now, what can we say about these various different markets? First, we've had a little bit of divergence in terms of the leading markets for this cycle. Some are still leading, most notably Australia, had placed great store. New Zealand was, Australia hit another new high today. New Zealand was down a little bit. It's been down the last couple of days, but that really doesn't look like more than a blip on the screen relative to the overall uptrend for New Zealand so far. More damage, though, is India, where we had seen that weekly key day reversal last week. Now, India had a terrific run upwards over the prior months, so it's hardly surprising that it runs into some flack and gets a pullback and consolidation. And it's certainly getting that. Brazil, which I'd mentioned before, Mexico, these had been leaders within their sectors and then have been underperforming in here. Now, then there's the U.S., of course, which has certainly been underperforming so far this month. And what has to be said about the U.S. is that investors are now focusing more on the prospect for higher interest rates. Now, I had mentioned previously that there were three factors which were in the wings that would be moving out onto the stage in terms of being within sight and therefore in the minds of investors this year. And those three things would be interest rates, and rising interest rates have killed off more bull runs than any other factor known to mankind in markets, as you're probably well aware. The other would be a rising oil price, and I maintain that oil has bottomed. As you know from these audios, I've been saying that I felt that we'd see a low around the $40 level. And so far, all the evidence that's accumulated suggests that's the case. So far, an important low down around this $40 level, not just a little brief temporary bounce. And the third factor would be another sell-off in the U.S. dollar, which create a degree of alarm. If there's going to be any degree of alarm, it'll be the rally that we have seen in the U.S. dollar rather than the sell-off. Now, that's a tongue-in-cheek comment. I don't see anything to be alarmed about regarding the dollar's rally, and I wouldn't be surprised if that dollar rally isn't over or very close to it. Okay, so where does this leave us overall? Well, in terms of global stock markets, we have to feel that now at this stage of the cycle with the rally that started back in March 2003, and that's where I really date this technical bull run as coming from. I know other people go back to the October low in 2002, but the March low in 2003 effectively tested the 2002 low, and really we haven't had an uptrend. We did not have an uptrend until that March 2003 low had been reached, and until the market had bounced off that that low, I should say, to get it right. So, as of the end of February, that rally will be 2 years old. That's pretty good for a medium-term bull within what I maintain as a secular bear on Wall Street. Now, I know it's fashionable and/or it's convenient for a lot of people not to want to even address the possibility of a secular bear market on Wall Street, but I think we ought to not get too emotional about it, not to get too subjective, but use history as the guide. And history's lesson for us is that following major bubbles, that you do tend to get a generational long process of PE ratio contraction, as I've mentioned so many times. So I think at this stage we should think of the global stock market rally cycle as being in injury time, to use that sporting parlance, or to be skating on thin ice, any analogy that would be would be meaningful for you. In other words, the risks are considerably higher at this level. Does that mean that we should be bailing out of everything? No, not by any means. Does that mean that some of the markets that have lagged, or some of the shares that have perhaps lagged that might catch investors' fancy, could not take off? No, indeed, they can take off and run in this environment as long as the leaders are intact. But common sense would suggest that the more leaders that lose upside momentum and eventually roll over, the greater the risks will be generally. Meanwhile, I maintain that this global rally, for most markets at any rate, has a bit further to go. Okay, how are things going in here today? Well, mixed. Mixed in Asia, really. Europe, again, quite mixed. Maybe a few more on the downside, but not very much, very minor percentages. The U.S. has come in better. Well, after a soft start, the U.S. is doing better. And I don't think there was any economic news of consequence. Wholesale inventories, they were a little bit higher. Well, I don't see that as being a factor. So, Wall Street, though, having underperformed, is steadier here at the moment, up 32 in the Dow as I speak, 5.6 in the S&P. That's better. That's nearly 0.5%. And that lagging NASDAQ is up 0.75 percentage point, up 1583 on the composite index. Now, I watched that March NASDAQ futures contract. You remember I had shorted that. Did I do that at the beginning of last week? Can't quite remember, but I only held it for a day, took a very small profit on it because I thought it would probably bounce around, and it's now back for the first time when I've been broadcasting at any rate, back up above where I had shorted it? No, it's not quite. It's at 578, but up 10 on the day. I will continue to watch this. This pattern could, talking about now the NASDAQ 100 index, this could easily rally further and not really alter what is a bearish short-term outlook. It's maybe slightly oversold. It is slightly oversold on a very short-term basis. If I put up the Bloomberg stochastic indicators, which just measure 10 days or so, it is just rebounding a bit from a lightly oversold position. If this pushes up a bit higher and there aren't any impressive dynamics, so I'm qualifying this heavily, then I would be tempted to let another smallish short position out, just as a hedge against some of the long positions that I have, particularly in markets like India. Some of the Asian markets, though, that I had previously lagged behind what India had been doing, or just looked very strongly positioned to see further gains. And I previously mentioned Thailand as being certainly a good candidate to do that. Now, moving on to some of these other markets, government bonds, still very much range-bound, not much to say in here, except that I think the next big move will be down. Currently, they're up 7/32 on the day. And more action really in these currency markets. Now, again, the dollar is, on a very short-term basis, is technically overbought. Therefore, the euro and some of these other currencies, such as sterling, are temporarily a little bit oversold following their previous reactions. Now, as you know, the U.S. dollar index, and I like to keep referring back to that, had bounced from some rather important historic support levels. That was not all that surprising. That was a predictable bounce for the beginning of the year, particularly since we could also predictably expect the European politicians and monetary officials to commence the year with some pretty heavy jawboning once they got back from holiday. And also, when I look at the dollar index, I think there's some overhead resistance coming in, not too much higher. And I just don't think that we've seen the final lows yet. Although, as you know, I've never been in the big bear camp on the dollar in terms of the last, in terms of my comments of the last year or so. I felt that it would go lower. I still think it hasn't seen its actual low. But I've never been of the dollar is going to collapse. We're going to see a major dollar route school. So what to do in those currency markets at this stage? Well, if I had anything, if I had any positions here, I would want to be a little bit long against the dollar. I have a small long position against the dollar, which is in the Australian dollar, where I also have a yield or interest rate differentials rather working in my favor. Now, the U.S. rising interest rate cycle, though, is going to be helping to cushion the dollar's downside moves in 2005. So I'd be surprised if we saw any big fireworks in terms of the dollar in either direction in 2005. And those, though, who want to wait for a clear signal that the dollar's technical rally is over and then to become more aggressive need to wait for a downward dynamic on the charts to check the dollar's rally. We clearly have not seen that yet. Moving on to other areas. Metals. We're seeing, for the most part, a continued recovery in here. The majority of metals are up in here today. Gold's been a bit disappointing because it's given up most of the earlier gains. Gold got up as high as 421.75. It's currently 419.31. That's only up a quarter of a dollar in here today. Now, this is still a nervous market, and it's still responding to, albeit underperforming, what we're seeing in the U.S. dollar. Now, the dollar is a little bit softer today with the euro back up to 130.88, but it had been up to 130.124, which coincided with the higher levels for gold. But I maintain that gold is cheap down at these levels around 420. And other precious metals, here's one for the nearly one for the record books here, old palladium. Remember that one? Responding again on the upside and a little bit more of a chunky rally this time. March palladium, as I speak, is up $7.90 to $191.90. Now, maybe one of the many listeners out there had, or readers of the comment of the day had picked up that hilariously funny comment that came in one of the emails of the day, that there was an old saying that you'll recall that when, or if you're tempted to buy palladium, I think the gist of it was lie down, have an aspirin or two, and think again. And maybe somebody read that, enjoyed it, as we probably all did, and then thought, well, now this is perhaps a contrary indicator. And indeed, you will recall back after palladium had reached, I think it was 70, maybe just to 170, maybe just a tiny bit below it, that looked climactic. And it has been pushing up subsequently, but needs to push up a lot higher to look like anything more than just continued ranging within its overall base formation, which means that it remains, if one plays it at all, remains a baby step situation, should only be picked up on weakness, such as we saw down to the 170, rather than picked up on a rally such as we're seeing at the moment. And in the industrial metals, say most of those are a little bit firmer in here today. The patterns overall, well, I exaggerate a little bit. Let's see. They're sort of chopping about. Tin is the one that's up on the day. Now we've seen some gains retraced on a few of the others. The patterns overall are very choppy, which makes them difficult to deal with if one deals at all in a choppy ranging market like that. And you certainly do. We certainly do see volatility with these industrial metals. The only way to deal with that, if one deals at all, is to buy after a good shakeout and sell after a good rally. Buy low, sell high, in other words. Now, what else to mention here? Crude oil, again, this has continued to push higher, currently 47.05. That's up 162. If we see crude up over $50 for more than the twinkling of an eye, then I think that really investors will start to take fright a little bit. And that will certainly create a headwind for global stock markets. Natural gas, that's getting a good bounce in here. Follow through on the upside today. Looks very, very oversold overall. I put a lot of charts up that you can see, and also charts of the Russian stock market index, which presumably would be one of the main beneficiaries of a good rebound in the price of oil and natural gas, and ranging to firmish metal prices. And I think that's my wrap for the day. Have a splendid evening.